Now, we come to our sixth study, which I've entitled Hearing the Voice of God, or you could call it the voice of Jesus or the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important truth. It's the opposite to what we've been talking about, the voice and the manifestations of Satan. Now we want to turn round and listen to the voice of Jesus and what he wants to bring into our lives. Now, why is this important? Well, let me read to you from Deuteronomy 28. Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high over all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, or the womb, the product of your ground, and the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And it goes on, all the wonderful blessings that God gave to the Jews, to the Israelites, if they would obey his voice. And we read in Galatians, of course, in the New Testament, that when we come into the Lord Jesus Christ, we are descendants of Abraham. We are his heirs by faith. And we come to receive the same blessings that Abraham had. In Galatians 3 and verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God wants us to inherit these blessings. And if you go on in that chapter 28, you get the most of it is taken up with the curses that come upon those that disobey God. Does this mean that God curses us and brings these things upon us? I don't believe so. What it means is this: if you remain within the Word of God, if your life is encompassed by the Word of God and what God is speaking into your life, you are protected. If you move out of that, and you move into disobedience, you're exposed to the ravages of Satan, and he will bring all these awful things upon you. That's the picture we get in Genesis chapter 3. And so it's vital to be able to hear the voice of God so clearly that you can obey it. Now, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us in many ways, and mainly through his word. But how does he in fact do that? I just want to explain something very simple here. The whole of your life and my life is a product of our own voice. We hear ourselves speaking. I'm going to shave now, have my breakfast later, and that's what we do. I'm going to wash up now and hoover afterwards. And we find we do these things. Everything we do is preceded by our own thought, our own voice, and then we do it. And when your mind is tuned to the Holy Spirit can come in on that same way and say, don't hoover now, phone Mrs. Smith. And you phone Mrs. Smith and you find, oh, I'm so glad you phoned just now. And you realize God was directing you. And so God can speak to you through your own voice and redirect your life, redirect your actions to fall in line with his will. Now, He can't do this if your mind is so preoccupied with yourself, with your own plans and your busyness, your worries about yourself, your worries about your problems, and you're going around in small circles, the Holy Spirit can't get in. But if your mind is constantly taken up with the wonder of who Jesus is, and your mind is refreshed with the beauty and the loveliness of your Lord, and His Word is constantly flowing through your mind and finds a delight there, then it's very easy for the Holy Spirit to speak into that sort of mind and direct and guide. And if our lives are in line with what God is speaking to us, God says, you will be blessed. Blessings will overtake you. So many of us are looking for blessings. We're looking for health. We're looking for encouragement. We're looking for prosperity. We're looking for guidance. We're looking for wisdom. We're looking for answers to problems. And God will give them. But God says, hey, wait a minute. If you'll just stop and let me speak to you through the day, moment by moment if possible, but certainly give the voice of my Holy Spirit chance to get through to you, and you do what I say, you'll find the blessings will be automatic. So this is a very, very important principle, to hear the voice of Jesus. Now, as I say, it centers first of all around having our minds occupied with the wonder of who Jesus is. On the list of verses, I've listed some of the wonderful things about our Lord Jesus Christ, just a handful. He's Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He's the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the only Savior, the Son of God. He's the power and wisdom of God. And of course, all these things have got references from which I get this summary. He's our Redeemer. He's our life. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Creator. He's worthy of glory and honor and power. He's love. He's the coming Lord. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Healer. He's our all in all. He's the Beloved. And mystery of mysteries, Christ is in you. No wonder Paul declares, you are complete in Him. And then if along with that, your mind is readily taken up with the Word of God, you're reading it in the morning, you're reading it at night, you're meditating in the lunchtime, you're constantly relating situations to the Word of God that you're getting to know, then it's easy for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And as we meditate upon the wonder of who Jesus is, and our hearts go out in love to Him, He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And as we find the Holy Spirit makes an easy access to our minds, as we read the Word of God and our minds are tuned like this to Him, it makes it easy for Him to speak to us through the Word. We read the Word and He gives us revelation that He wants, of truths He wants us to see in that Word, and enables us to obey and follow Him, and the blessings follow. And that's why it's important to have had these previous tapes where we free ourselves from as much as possible of Satan's cluttering up of our lives and our minds, so that we are free to hear the voice of God. Now, let me just repeat again, to make it easy for God to speak to us, we have to be occupied often with appreciating who Jesus is, letting our minds be running along the lines of His Word. You'll find if something comes in to separate you from the Word of God, your relationship with God dwindles and dwindles and dwindles. But as the Word of God begins to live with you and lighten up, then you'll find that it's very easy for the Spirit of God to give you discernment and to direct you. Let me give you one little practical area in which you can appreciate the wonder of who Jesus is to you. You'll find as you go through life that there are areas of problems arise. You may get frustrated. You may get depressed. You may get perplexed. You may be involved in all sorts of problems and you think there's no way out. Now remember this. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He exchanged your life for His. He took your death. He hadn't got any of his own. He took your sicknesses. He took your poverty. He took all the curses and all the curse of Satan upon himself so that you might be free. So that when you're faced with a problem, supposing you're going through a time of depression, Satan will say, ah, you see, you're cut off from God now. Look, you're in this depression, and Jesus is not depressed. He's miles away. Now listen carefully. If Jesus has become your death, he's also become that depression. Instead of letting Satan deceive you and run away, say, Jesus, you took this depression on the cross. You took this frustration. You took this perplexity. I identify it with you, Jesus. And you'll find that Jesus will meet you at the point of your need. Satan will try and tell you to run away because you're not worthy and Jesus has deserted you. But Jesus is actually standing there saying, beloved, I've become that problem for you. I want to release into you my wisdom and my answer. And so here is one important area where all the problems and frustrations you face, realize that Jesus wants to meet you in them and exchange them through his cross for his wisdom, for his life, for his joy and his peace. So here is an area where you can encounter the love and the reality of Jesus at your point of need and stay there until you get through. And this will cause you to live a life of praise and of thanksgiving, the life of love. Now, I'm saying so far is learn to appreciate the wonder of who Jesus is, whether it be in a time of blessing or a time of difficulty or perplexity. Jesus says, I am there and I'm exchanging what you're going through for my life. Beloved, I love you. And so this is very important to be able to continue to be in the position where Jesus can speak to us and guide us and we can hear his voice. So one of the most important prayers to pray is that prayer that Paul prayed for his early church. Do look it up. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul says, since he heard of their faith, in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let that prayer be yours. Father, send me the spirit of revelation concerning who Jesus is and my inheritance in him and his inheritance in me. And God will fulfill that prayer. It's a Holy Spirit-breathed scriptural prayer. Pray. No matter if you don't get it at once, but pray constantly. Seek it earnestly. The spirit of revelation concerning who Jesus is and the glory of his power and the wonder of his love for you. And as you do this, I would also urge you to look in Luke's Gospel and read the account of the Lord's Supper, as it's called. And you read there, then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So at that meal, Jesus would have called it the new covenant meal. He wouldn't have called it the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, or the Eucharist. I believe its real title is a new covenant meal. And you know, we come to this communion service, or whatever we like to call it, we come so solemnly and so sedately, and we try and get ourselves worked up to feel it's something very special, and by the very repetition of it, it very often loses just that. But in actual fact, Jesus wants it to be a time of real rejoicing, because he's seeking to make known to us his covenant. We are in a new covenant relationship with Jesus that's been sealed, not with sealing wax or a solicitor's statements, but with his blood. What is this new covenant that Jesus has sealed to us? It's the New Testament version of that Deuteronomy 28. It's his seal of blessing towards us. What does he mean when he says he's made a new covenant with us? Well, we've been covering it. He's covenanted to take our death. He's covenanted to take our sin. He's covenanted to take our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. He's covenanted to take our poverty. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Every need that you will have in time or eternity, Jesus says, I am covenanting with you, dear one, to meet that need and to release it to you, my life and my provision. So the covenant that Jesus is making with us is a covenant of salvation. It's also a covenant of protection. It's a covenant of provision. And glory to glory, it's a covenant of his precious presence with us. I will never leave you or forsake you. And so when we come to take the communion, whatever you like, the covenant meal, it has these two parts, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine. You can call it wine if you like, but it wasn't alcoholic. It was represented by the vine being crushed. Jesus called it the fruit of the vine. And that broken bread stands for his broken body, which means he has borne in his body everything that would break your body. Every sickness that Satan can put upon you, Jesus has borne it, that you might have his health. Every financial burden that Satan would try and bring upon you, Jesus says, I want to guide you and lead you through it. Every direction, every step of direction, every guidance that you need, Jesus says, I am your guide. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. He's our director and our guide. And so it's important, as we come to praise Jesus and worship him, we realize we are on the receiving end of this new covenant, a perfect and wonderful provision. When we come to take the fruit of the vine, or the wine, Jesus is saying, this is my life poured out for you. I am giving you my everlasting life. I am giving you my righteousness in the presence of God. I am causing you to be accepted as I am accepted. You are cleansed. You are forgiven. You are provided for. The past is covered, cleared. The present, the future is assured. What a glorious thing this covenant meal is. But it's more than that. It's to walk in the knowledge of this covenant and put it into practice, put God to the test. When we have needs, we have to learn to say, God, you've got a covenant, you've made a covenant with me. Just let me be free of anything that's stopping me relating to you, all bitterness, all sin, all occult, all disobedience. Lord, I turn my back on it, and I just want to walk close to you, listening to your voice, and walking in your covenant of provision, protection, salvation, and the sureness of your presence. Isn't this glorious? Isn't it wonderful? Christian life is exciting once you begin to see what God has provided for you and declared it in his word. And so, what do we come to? We come to the point that now we are learning not to be guided by our feelings, whether we feel good or whether we feel bad, whether we feel on top, but we're being led to trust the word of God. What God says we are in him, what Christ is in us, and what he has covenanted to lead and guide us and do with us. And so that we are the head and not the tail. Glory be to God. May you beginning to learn more and more of what this means. Now, as you come to this place of fellowshipping with Jesus, and here I might add there are times also when you want to be as quiet in his presence. Meditate on his word, and let that word still the rushing round of your mind. Repeat the word, let it till your mind gets quietened through the word, and then let the presence of Jesus come over you in that stillness. Let the word of God, by repeating it and meditating in it, still the activity of your mind, and open up to you the very presence of Jesus standing in your midst, and just worship him, and reach out and tell him you love him, and let his love for you just fill you and flood you. And you will find that he wants to do something for you. And I'm going to read it to you in Luke 11, verse 9. I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. This is Jesus saying, I've made a covenant of provision with you, and I want to meet your needs. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is saying, I want to give you a precious gift. I want to give you the gift of my Holy Spirit to fill you and flood you and enable you to have power in your ministry and service for me. Now, when you were born again, you received the Spirit of Jesus into your spirit. And what Jesus is saying, now I want to teach you how to release that Holy Spirit into your soul and into your body. The Holy Spirit has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions because he's a person. And he wants to let his mind fill your mind and control your mind and speak through your mind. His emotions of love speak through your emotions. And his perfect will that pleases the Father operate through your will. And his Spirit to even come down into your body so that he keeps your body well and in health. How does this happen? He doesn't force this upon us. He says, ask that I might release my Holy Spirit into all of you. You've got him in your spirit already, but I want to release him into your soul and your body. I want to baptize you, if you like. I like to think that when we're born again, that's when we're baptized in our spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus, and when what we call the baptism of the Spirit that people refer to is the release of that Spirit into the whole of us. It is also on occasions where that Spirit can come down upon you, as it were, with a special anointing and flood and fill the whole of you. And that's why the word being baptized in the Spirit is a good word to describe this. But Jesus wants to fill every part of you with his Holy Spirit. But he says, you must ask me first. You must ask. And he says, if you ask, you will receive. And so how do I receive then this precious gift of the Holy Spirit? First of all, I have to make sure that there's nothing in my life that's grieving the Holy Spirit. And we've covered this ground fairly well by now. No aggro towards anybody. No known sin. No connection with the occult. And you can come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. There are times when it's possible to pray this prayer with someone, and someone who God is using in this wonderful way to lay their hands upon you. And by the laying of hands upon you, and pray that you will receive this fullness of the Holy Spirit into all of you. There are many that have received it just by themselves, by asking. But if you want to enter into this experience, then you can seek out someone whom you can trust, someone who won't lead you astray, and let them lay hands upon you and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you. Now, Jesus says, if you ask, you will receive. And so you ask in faith, and Jesus will give. When I was seeking the Holy Spirit, I used to ask and ask and ask, and nothing happened, because I was expecting certain things to happen, have certain feelings. But when I said, Jesus, I ask now for your Holy Spirit to fill me and flood me, baptize me in your Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, you manifest all that you want to in your way and your time. I receive it all now, and you work it out in your way. And nothing happened immediately. But a few weeks later, I found myself speaking with a heavenly language, speaking in what the New Testament calls tongues. In fact, I sang in a tongue. I found I laid my hands on sick people, and this tongue came out, and they got healed. And you'll find that when the Holy Spirit fills you like this, he brings certain gifts into your life. He brings the gift of discernment of what's of God and what's not of God, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of wisdom, the gift of moving in love. And these beautiful power tools can begin to operate in your life when the Holy Spirit has filled you. And so let me pray for you to this end, to receive these wonderful gifts and to receive the fullness, the baptism of his Holy Spirit into you, that will make it easy for you to listen to his voice, easy for you to understand his word, easy for you to move in greater power in your witness for the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we just come to this precious moment, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit will give illumination to those that are listening. Give them a desire to see that you want to fill and flood them with your Holy Spirit, even now as I pray. Lift your hands up, dear ones. Lift your hands up towards God and receive as I pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you will anoint and baptize every expectant receiving heart with your Holy Spirit. Let him just quietly and gently come upon them. And Lord, cause them just to reach out to you and say, I receive because I am asking according to your word. And let that glorious manifestation be manifest in their lives, that they too speak with a heavenly language. And as you are listening to me, and as your heart and hands are lifted up to God, and you are receiving in faith, say, I receive also, Lord Jesus, the gift of tongues, that I might speak in a heavenly language. And he says, I promise to give it to you, and you receive it, and I will give it to you, and he will manifest it in your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It isn't measured by your feelings or your emotions. It's measured by God's faithfulness according to his word. You have asked, you have received. Jesus will manifest it to you in his way and his time, if he hasn't all done it already. And you need to move forward in his coming way, saying, thank you, Jesus. I have received your Holy Spirit, and I have received the gift of tongues. I have received. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, and I'm going to speak in tongues. And I'm going to manifest these things because you've given them to me. Praise your wonderful name. Occupy yourself now with the praise and the wonder of who Jesus is. We did talk earlier on in this tape about the Word of God and that which comes out of God's mouth. And you will find that God will use you to speak his word into situations. And remember, this is very important. All the situations and problems that you are likely to meet, the key to them is to be able to know what God is saying into that situation and to be able to speak it. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit will enable you to do that. It won't come overnight, but it will come more and more as you believe for it. May I suggest that you start and read the book of Acts. It's a lot, I know, but you will see there the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of ordinary men and women, and you will see something of what he will want to do in your life.